This is Audible.
Audible Original Publishing presents Out of Spite, Out of Mind, Book 5 of the Magic 2.0 series, written by Scott Meyer, performed by Luke Daniels.
1. Britt the Elder's house exuded the sort of serenity that's only possible in a home when nobody's there to enjoy it. A small amount of light from the outside filtered in through the blinds, partially illuminating an interior that contained just enough furniture, mementos, and objets d'art to qualify as deliberately austere rather than just empty. In the midst of all this stillness and silence, Britt the Elder materialized. Other magic users would simply pop into existence or appear after an animation and sound effect intended to impress any witnesses, but which usually just resembled the beaming-in special effect from Star Trek. Britt the Elder had spent a great deal of time perfecting her own materialization macro to be subtle yet noticeable. The result was that she appeared to slip elegantly into existence, like a silver spoon rising to the surface of a bone china bowl full of vichyssoise. She appeared standing straight and tall, as was her habit. She glanced around to verify that she was alone, following which her entire skeleton seemed to sag, and she said one word. "Shit." She said the word slowly, as if it had 7 syllables, or she was trying to communicate the concept of shit to someone who spoke a different language. Without bothering to turn on any lights, she staggered 2 steps to a nearby chaise longue. It was meant to be gracefully laid upon, preferably while reading a design magazine. Instead, Britt the Elder planted her rear end directly in the chaise's middle and slumped forward as if she were sitting on a park bench holding a plastic bottle of vodka wrapped in a paper bag. She often returned from her visits with Britt the Younger feeling a bit wrung out. She disliked confrontations to begin with, and Britt the Younger was almost always angry with her. Britt the Elder found it all particularly upsetting, because she had been Britt the Younger, long ago, and watching her younger self lose her temper made Britt the Elder remember those emotions from when she lived them, and she was angry with Britt the Elder, who she had disliked intensely at the time, and who she herself now was. The experience usually left her feeling a unique combination of self-directed anger, remorse, confusion, and more self-directed anger coming from the opposite direction. It was always bad, but this time it was much worse. "What's happening?" she thought. "What am I going to do?" Just having those thoughts was enough to make Britt the Elder panic, but she fought it down, forcing herself to breathe slowly and think logically. She fidgeted with her right foot, pressing the tips of her toes against the floor. "Okay," she thought. "Calm down. Think it through. I remember clearly back when I was Britt the Younger, the wizards in Leadchurch made Kluge an offer that would help his gang work together with them. I remember Kluge turning down the deal Philip offered him. But Britt the Younger says he took the deal, and she's Britt the Younger right now, so you'd think the memory's a lot fresher for her. Where does that leave me? For the first time I can recall, something has happened differently from how I remember it happening. How is this possible?" She could see 3 options. The 2 most appealing possibilities were that she had misremembered, or that Britt the Younger was wrong. Either of those options amounted to a mistake on her part. The only difference was when she messed up, when she was Britt the Younger or when she was Britt the Elder. She hated making mistakes, but it was far preferable to the implications of the 3rd possibility, that there was some error in the code. The error could be in her code, which might lead to her death, or the error could be in the code that generated the entire known universe, which might lead to the destruction of everything. She figured an error was bad news for her either way. A 4th option occurred to her, but she liked it even less. It was possible that her memories were not tied to Britt the Younger's experiences. All of the beliefs that had governed her every action for the last several decades of her life might have been completely misguided, causing her to be a hateful monster to Britt the Younger for no real reason at all. Of those options, the easiest option to verify was that she had misremembered, so she decided to start with that. Rit the Elder rose from the chair and walked from her sleek and modern great room down a tasteful hall and into her minimal functional office and workshop, where a walnut desk supported her computer, an original one-piece Macintosh. The computer's plastic case had long ago faded from its original stylish gray tones to a dingy yellow, not dissimilar to the color of a dehydrated man's urine. It was a common problem with the plastics used in the cases of the early Macintosh computers. Once, Britt had been amazed that Steve Jobs would allow a product to ship with such an obvious aesthetic flaw, but in time she realized that Steve Jobs didn't consider anything that would cause a customer to want to buy a newer computer a flaw. Britt the Elder sat down in front of the computer, absent-mindedly rubbing the toes of her shoes together as she wiggled the mouse back and forth to rid the screen of flying toasters. She navigated through the file structure to the folder that held her journals. Her many, many journals. She had started keeping a daily record of her thoughts, hopes, dreams, and actions when she was a teenager, back when that meant trying to keep track of which member of her current favorite boy band was dreamiest. She found that keeping the journals helped her make sense of a day's events and organize her thoughts and ideas, so she kept it up, switching later to the computer from the paper notebooks. The journals were a daily catalog of her irritating interactions with her future self, but also held the day-to-day account of every other time traveler she'd met, every major event she'd witnessed, and her feelings about all of them. There was a weird stretch of nearly a decade where the notes got spotty, but she wasn't quite to that bit yet. Some of the entries contained notes so detailed as to describe people's actual physical movements and timing information down to the second. It was an invaluable record, and Britt the Elder used it to appear nearly omniscient. Reading the labels on the grid of file folders, Britt scanned all the major events of her life, her discovery of the file, her notes from her experiments where she learned how to fly, teleport, time travel, stop the aging process, and do any number of other things that others thought of as magic. Her account of when she decided to travel back in time to find Atlantis, or if Atlantis didn't exist, build it herself. And the angry screed she wrote when she traveled back, found Atlantis waiting for, and discovered that the city hadn't existed until a future version of herself went even further back in time, built the whole place herself, then waited around for her younger self to arrive. She poked through the scores of folders that documented the years she spent as Britt the Younger, living in Atlantis, in the shadow of her future self, who the whole city looked to as a leader simply because she'd gotten there first, even if she had done it much later. She'd stopped writing the journals when she became Britt the Elder. She didn't want Britt the Much Elder reading her thoughts, and was certain that she would, because that's exactly what she herself was doing to Britt the Younger. Of course, she told Britt the Younger that she hadn't looked at the journals in years. That was the only reason Britt the Younger still kept them. In retrospect, she was more than a little embarrassed that she had believed such an obvious lie when Britt the Elder told it to her all those decades ago. Britt searched through the folder for the current decade, then the year, then the month, and pulled up the MacWrite file for the current day. She waited as the antique computer churned through the daunting task of opening a single-page text file. "Of course I just misremembered it," she thought. "I got caught up helping tend to the wounded from the dragon attack, so I didn't bother to read the journal this morning. It figures that this'd be one of those rare times when I misremember something. I'll just double-check. The journal will confirm what Britt the Younger said, and I'll laugh this off." The screen filled with menu headings, a ruler, and Britt's recollections from this very day when she'd lived it the first time, more than 100 years earlier. Britt leaned in close to the screen, silently absorbing the words, clicking intermittently to scroll downward. She blinked, rubbed her eyes, and leaned in closer. "Philip explained the offer to Kluge. He was resistant. Philip explained that Kluge and his gang wouldn't be harmed in any way, but that we would want them to try their hardest to kill us. But Kluge wanted no part of it. We even described the fake rideable dragons they'd get to use, but his distrust just runs too deep. Maybe someday we'll win him over, but it won't be any time soon." Britt the Elder leaned back in her chair, staring at the computer's tiny built-in monitor. She kicked her shoes off as she continued reading, hoping to find something about Kluge changing his mind. Just a few minutes ago, the journal continued, Britt the Elder came over. I told her that Kluge had declined the offer. She said she already knew that he would come around eventually, and congratulated me on how well my friends and I had handled the situation. She was trying to be nice, but I wish she wouldn't bother if she doesn't really mean it. Britt the Elder shook her head. Even when I'm nice to her, she assumes it's insincere, the little snot. Her memories matched the historical record, but did not match the events that had actually happened. Back when she was Britt the Younger, she had experienced the event of Kluge refusing Philip's offer. She then wrote about Kluge refusing Philip's offer in her journal, which proved that it happened the way she remembered it, except that it appeared that the opposite was true. Kluge accepted the offer, which was not possible. Events had not unfolded in the way that the events had unfolded, which was, of course, a paradox. She could only conclude that either there was something wrong with the program of the universe, or the last 100 years of the journal's perfectly matching observed events had been a long series of coincidences. She found one of those answers a lot more likely than the other. A glitch is the simplest answer. Of course, glitches can cause further glitches, then cascade failures, then system crashes. Occam's razor may have just slit the world's throat. Britt the Elder sat frowning for over a minute before coming to the decision that this was a problem she couldn't frown away. She couldn't rely on her memories or her notes about what would happen tomorrow. For the first time in a very, very long time, she didn't know what was about to happen. I'm completely in the dark. I don't know what to do. Well, that's not true. I have a good idea what the logical next move is. It's just that being in the dark might be preferable. She sat in silence for a moment, trying to puzzle out some simple solution that didn't involve doing anything she loathed. Bracing herself against the floor with one foot, she drew the other one up into her lap and absent-mindedly scratched at her toes. This all seems bad. But what is it so far? One anomaly that only I noticed. It's probably just some little hiccup. I have no reason to believe anything else is wrong. What is going on with my feet? They don't itch, exactly, but still. She looked down at her foot, illuminated by the gray light from the monitor, and let out a small, strangled shriek. She lifted up her right foot to get a better look. At first, it looked perfectly normal, but then, without warning, it changed to a crude approximation of a human foot, constructed entirely out of triangles the color of her skin. Her foot remained in this unnatural condition for a couple of seconds, then changed back to her ordinary regular foot. She stared at it for a long time, watching it transform back and forth at random between flesh and bone and living polygons. She only looked away when she realized that the toes of her other foot felt odd as well. She lowered her right foot and lifted and stared at her left foot, seeing that it was doing the same bizarre thing. She slouched down in the chair, gripped the seat base for support, and put both feet up on her desk. She stared at them for a moment. Then, very slowly, as if the word had 14 syllables, said, "Shh."